racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Guess what, golf fans? It's Houston Open Week on the PGA Tour. A big welcome in the grill room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., also the general manager ambassador of golf at the Normandy Golf Club in St. Louis, and also, probably even more important in this social media world, he's STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, this week, the Astros Golf Foundation has officially launched the next chapter of the Houston Open that's been a proud Houston tradition dating way back to 1946. Great for the city of Houston.
Well, and you spend a lot of time there, and you and our executive producer Janice and my old friend Eric Fredrickson used to run the Houston Golf Association / Houston Open. It's a great traditional event. It was kind of worried that it might go away, but the folks with the Astros have stepped up, the man that owns the Floridian, and it's all good back in Houston. Great to have the tour back this week.
They're going to be playing this week at the Golf Club of Houston, where it's been played the last several years. But it's next year when they make the big move to Memorial Park, a legendary golf course downtown Houston. Matter of fact, I was surprised to learn that Memorial Park actually twice the size of Central Park. And they got Tom Doak in to renovate the place. And, Jay, I think you'll be surprised that it's going to be only 20 bunkers on the entire course, and there's going to be 5 par threes. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if it's enough of a test for the best players in the world. But the ones that are really going to benefit are the daily fee players that get to play Memorial Park 51 out of the 52 weeks of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you think about having a municipal golf course reworked by Tom Doak, and I mean, I don't know that it gets any better than that in terms of a municipal golf course. And Houston is such a massive city. It's you can drive an hour and still be in the city proper, it seems. So it's great that they're hitting kind of all different sides, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Memorial Park.
Yeah, it's a very special place. And by the way, I'd be remiss in not reminding our listeners, Memorial Park certainly has a warm spot in the heart of our executive producer, Janice Self. She won the City of Houston championship at Memorial Park, so she knows a little something about that. And we got a special show this week. We're going to take a look at Kevin Na's win in Vegas. Then we're going to preview the Houston Open, followed by my opportunity to speak with legendary golf instructor Butch Harmon, who is being honored here this week. And then, believe it or not, a real good buddy of the show, Jay, and we've had him on before, and you've enjoyed his work as well as anybody, Sean Foley, a golf coach right now to Justin Rose, and maybe even more important to Cameron Champ, just to name a few.
Bob, before we take a look at Kevin Na's win, I think you look, you know, we talked about what this fall series of events was going to be like, because it was almost double the size from the previous year. And we've really seen some fascinating things, I think, that's made it interesting. You've got the experienced guys maybe trying to find the missing parts of their games, like Justin Thomas came back and played a couple of weeks ago. You've got these young guys that are hungry, that are coming off the Corn Ferry Tour, that are ready to win. You're seeing that. It's been an interesting mix of players that have been in the hunt, and especially players that have won. And I for one, have kind of enjoyed, you know, we only really had 2 weeks off until the Greenbrier kicked up after the Tour Championship. So I think you look at what Kevin Na did, Bob, and because these guys also that are in the mix for the potential of being on the President's Cup, these events are important for them.
Well said, Jay. A lot of people are playing, trying to impress Tiger Woods to see if they can make it on the team. A lot of speculation going about that Kevin Na would be a good pick, but you know he's currently ranked 24th in the world. He's number two in FedEx Cup standings. That's for this year, though. So he may get an opportunity to show how he can do. I mean, the one ingredient you like in any team competition, and you know this very well, Mr. Randolph, you want to have a good flat stick, and Kevin Na certainly fits that description.
Oh, no doubt about it. In fact, I don't know if he said it on the air with you, but you gave me a little insight into how impressed Mr. Foley is, who we're going to hear a little later in the program, one of my favorite instructors, about Kevin Na.
Yeah, and before we even get to Sean Foley, why don't we give a listen to what the winner of Las Vegas, he's a hometown hero there, Kevin Na, regarding his win in Vegas.
It feels great. It's a place where I got my first win. Hometown, local support, what more can you ask for? My family was here. My father got to see me win for the first time in his life. Very special day. You know, I think it was, I really felt like, you know, I was the favorite. The local support and the local crowd cheering for me really helped me, especially when things weren't going well in the back nine. I was able to get some good energy from them, and I think they really helped me get this win.
All right, Kevin Na fully recognizing, Jay, that having that hometown support, you wouldn't think it would be that big a deal when you get to the level of the PGA Tour, but home field advantage, no matter what sport you're playing, certainly a big deal. All we have to do is take a look at the Houston Astros. They won the first two games of the playoff. They go down to Tampa Bay and lose two games. So home field advantage, pretty interesting. We're hoping that St. Louis gets that home field advantage and takes full advantage of it today. Kevin Na now has won four times. You know, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you win once, you win twice on the PGA Tour. You know, maybe there's an element of luck or, you know, the other players kind of laid down. But, Jay, you know, winning four times on the PGA Tour, that's pretty impressive.
Well, it's just separation. To your career, to the type of player you'll be remembered as, to the type of records you will have in the PGA Tour media guide. But I found that, you know, he was extremely emotional after the win. And I did not know until he just said that it was the first time his father had ever seen him win a golf tournament. You know, he's had an interesting career. This is a guy that couldn't draw the club back. This is a guy that I think made a 13 on a par four one time.
How about 16?
16.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he's been all over the map. And he probably ought to have about 8 or 10 wins, to be honest with you. But I think that the play we've seen and the more consistency and the way he finished it off Sunday may give him a little boost. He may get to 8 or 10 where a lot of people thought he might. He came out so early. I just really thought Sunday was a fantastic day for him, and to have his dad there for the first time, good for him.
Yeah, certainly, and especially nowadays where somebody doesn't hit it as far as everybody. I think Kevin Na only averages around 290. That used to be probably the leader on the PGA Tour, but by any standards.
Well, and Bob, let's not, you know, let Patrick Cantlay necessarily off the hook. Kudos to him for getting in the playoff, but I thought he mismanaged a couple of plays in the playoff. I think if you'd have asked most people They would have said the favorite was Cantlay, because he's been one of the hot items the last couple of years. But still, a learning experience for him. I'm not dissing him too much. I mean, he did what he had to do to get in the playoff, but I think it was a subpar playoff for him, but another good finish for a young guy who's trying to be one of the elite players in the game, not just a run-of-the-mill guy. When we return on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, we'll preview the Houston Open, where Bob's on site right after this. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. You can find Bob on Twitter. He's so active on that Twitter. Bob Bubka, VOG, the VOG for Voice of Golf. My man Darren each week, who's making his bets over the pond. He's good, too. You might want to follow him, Darren Walker, on Twitter, because he's always seeming to find the right guys. You can follow me on Twitter at STL Golf Geek, but Bob is where the action is this week. It's the fifth fall event, Bob, already five in the fall for the new season, the Houston Open in your backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of excitement in town. Going to be a lot of excitement next year when it goes to Memorial Park. Had an opportunity to speak with Tom Doak, completely renovating Memorial Park. And you know the reputation he has, Jay. He's simply one of the best. It's going to be an interesting golf course. Only 20 bunkers on the whole course. And here's an aspect that I really... going to have to probably grow into five par threes, but should be exciting. He tells me it's going to be a pretty good test. You know, they're playing this year, of course, at the Golf Club of Houston, where it's been for several years, built by the renowned Rhys Jones. And it'll only be here this year. It's a big event, though. The winner gets $1,260,000. In his pocket and 500 FedEx Cup points, and does get to go to the Masters. Good news, and a good friend of ours, Jay, Butch Harmon, named honoree of the 2019 Houston Open. He was a key figure in the Houston golf scene for many years before he moved to Las Vegas. His dad was here. His brother Dick, that he lost at a very young age, also made his headquarters in Houston. Good choice of selecting Butch Harmon. We had an opportunity to catch up to him. Here's what he had to say. You know, Butch, with the Houston Open, moving to Memorial Park, which I think is absolutely incredible. Tom Doak, you had a chance to see his work in progress. It's going to be a great golf course for the Houston Open, but maybe more important, great golf course for the people of Houston.
Well, that's what I've been saying all along. I said, when you look at what they've done here, and I played here a bunch 30 years ago when I lived here, and it was a good golf course then for a municipal course. It's a great golf course right now. What they have done with this facility is unbelievable. The Houston Open will be here 1 week out of the year. 51 weeks out of the year, the residents of Houston are going to have a world-class facility to play, world-class practice facility to practice on, and a golf course that's unbelievable. Yes, we've got back tees, and we can stretch this thing out for tournament play, but there's so many tees that the average person can play no matter what handicap they are, and they're going to love it, and they're going to enjoy it, and it's a reasonable fee to play a world-class event. And a reasonable fee for the local residents of Houston to have a place to play. I don't know how you can get any better than this.
They had an opportunity to name an honoree for this new event coming to Houston. They tabbed the name Butch Harmon. They couldn't have picked a better one.
Well, it's very humbling, and I'm honored that they would do that. I love this city. I spent 16 years of my life here. My dad and my brother both passed away when they were here. I've got so many friends here, and when they asked me to be the honoree, I was almost embarrassed, to be honest with you. And then the more I thought about it, I'm thinking, wow, this is something I should be very proud of, and not just me, my family in whole, because we've got a lot of connection to the city of Houston, so I'm extremely honored.
Speaking of can't get any better than this, I got to believe Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, with the influx of this young talent that we're both witnessing, they're not only good on the golf course, Butch, they're good people off the golf course. It just seems incredible.
Well, the game's in a great place. When you look at the young talent we have, these kids coming out of college, come right out and win tournaments, how good they all are. They respect the game. They're great with the fans. You know, and then going back to the Houston Open, we'll get off of this fall date. Monahan has told Jim Crane that as soon as the date comes available in the regular season that we'll get moved to there, which will be great too. But I think golf on the tour wise is in the best place it's ever been, just because of all the young talent and just the joy around the game. Even with Tiger coming back and playing well and winning the Masters had a lot to do with that and got everybody energized again. And the year 2000 is going to be fantastic.
A lot of great things have happened to Butch Harmon over the course of his life. I'm just kind of curious, did you ever imagine having a former City of Houston ladies champion hold the mic for you?
That's the way it should be. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know why I'm talking to you. I should be talking to her.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Well, great that you could catch up with Butch Harmon. And I just, you know, we talk about Houston golf and the Harmon family, and you're in my man, Mr. Epps, Charlie Epps. You and I have been very blessed to know some of the key people in Houston golf. And Bob, this week, you know, again, you've got the young stars playing this week. You got guys like Henrik Stenson making his first start in the fall. Sebastian Munoz, Cameron Champ, and all those guys that are looking to make their name out on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And the amazing thing about Henrik Stenson, it's been well documented over the years, what a weapon his three-wood has been in his career. Well, that three-wood got divorced. Brand new three-wood going in the bag for Henrik Stenson. He's all excited about it. He says he's not playing as well as he would like to, but looking to get off to a good start here in Houston. Keegan Bradley's in the field. Jay Cameron Champ, somebody that we're certainly going to have to keep an eye on. Sebastian Munoz. Scottie Scheffler, he was named the Korn Ferry Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year on the 2019 Korn Ferry Tour. He's now on the PGA Tour. To our listeners, that's a name you might want to keep an eye on. Scottie Scheffler is the real deal.
Well, and Bob, we should mention Bryson DeChambeau, who we're both sometimes confounded by, is going to take a little winter break, take some time off. I guess he's not going to go to the Far East. We'll see. But he plans to bulk up, get stronger, and read more books.
What about the new event coming to St. Louis? Any excitement there?
Well, I think there is a lot of excitement among St. Louis golfers. It was announced that the PGA Tour champions will be coming to St. Louis. A business called Ascension in the insurance business. has made a commitment for 4 years. They're going to be at Norwood Hills Country Club, which is a 36-hole property. It's only about a driver and a 7-iron away from Normandy. It's within 5 minutes of where Normandy sits. It's a fantastic club. They've done just about everything they can to the golf course. And, you know, while I'm one of the believers that this town, St. Louis, where I reside, is more of a better suited for a big event, I'd like to say every 10 years, but now with the way everything's mapped. Justin Rose's teacher. Bob goes one-on-one with Sean Foley next. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa and you'll be connected.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elstoautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
I want to thank Sean Foley for popping into the Grill Room. Sean's always insightful in what he has to say, and I have so many questions. I probably don't have enough time, but let me not waste any of it and get right to it. So many young players are popping onto the PGA Tour now, Sean, and not only popping onto the tour, they seem to be coming with the attitude that they can win, and they're demonstrating they can win. Can you shed some light on maybe a couple of reasons why this is happening?
You know, it's I mean, look, most of the time whenever anyone asks us a question, human beings, we're typically speculating, right? So I would just say from my experience and then kind of being pretty close to it is, I think it all, just like anything in the modern game, it all goes back to Tiger Woods. And you know, I've said it often before, greatness like that spans generations. So Canadian kids growing up now will still watch Gretzky highlights, right? So, you know, even though we know it affected DJ and Brooks and that age group, Rory, it's affected the next age group as well. But the next age group have also seen Dustin and Rory and, well, I would say Justin Rose, but he's much more, to me, Rose, he's more of an enigma, being as that, you know, at 39 years of age, he's one of the best players in the world. That's nearly 40, right? So he, you know, they've grown up watching these guys. You know, guys like Rosie and Brooks and them have showed them what it means to be a professional, to have a team around them. You know, with the team around them, I would say the instruction's better since we've been able to have data. to kind of show what we're doing and what we're not doing. I think now with more science in golf, when you see that kid who kind of has a move that isn't normal, you don't really, you're not as quick to change it as you may have been in the past. So I think like less players are getting coached out of the game. I'm always trying to make sure I'm not coaching anyone out of the game. And so I think if you put all those things together, you know, that the ideas of the last 5 years with the golf swing are much closer to what the greats were doing in theirs. But there's really a period from probably 75 to, gosh, 2005, where what was being taught was really not accurate. And I think that it harmed a lot of players, and not that was the intent of anybody. You know, at one point people thought that smoking cigarettes was a relaxing way to spend the day. So, you know, times change. I think that's part of it. But I think really, if you put it into some simple points, people say they're fearless. They come out that it used to take a rookie this long. Well, the thing is, it used to take rookies that long because you had like the pub links, and then you had the U.S. amateur, British amateur, maybe if he even went, then you had kind of a college schedule. But now there's so many tournaments to play in. So I think people just get more experience at a younger age, not saying that that's a great thing. Like I kind of cringe when I have someone come to my academy and, you know, they have the best 11-year-old in the state. And it's, I don't know. It just, to me, if you look at the really great players, none of them were the best at 11 anyways. I mean, except for maybe Tiger, but he is alien. So he does not count in any discussion that we have. He's just Tiger Woods. So I would say, you know, I would say that it's that, you know, they spend a lot more time in the gym. I understand still to this day that on media coverage, they talk about fitness in the gym like it's a bad thing. I think when we have a nationwide epidemic of childhood obesity, we should never talk about not going to the gym. I take slight issue with that. So like in Brooks' case, you know, Brooks got too big to play and then he won two majors and then he lost all that weight for that Sports Illustrated thing. And then he got too vain and too skinny and won two majors. So it's, I don't know, but that would be my long-winded answer to what is a really great question.
Sean, let's talk a little bit about Cameron Champ. What I witnessed a couple of weeks ago was not a talented golfer, just winning his second event on the PGA Tour. I watched a young man that deeply loves his grandfather, who's in the tail end probably of a tragic medical situation, and yet he was able to reach down and on the golf course, do what he had to do, off the golf course, do what was right for his grandfather. To me, it represents just an incredible victory.
I think if anything, if anything, you know, for the most part, players struggle because they have the mentality that they have something to lose. So when they go out in the course, and you know, they've got something to lose. So they're kind of playing in a mindset of fear more than anything. And I think what happens in Cameron's case is, you know, last year he won quickly. He's not nearly the player that he needs to be yet. And we both know that. When I mean player, I mean like playing golf. So when I think of a player, I see like Kevin Na in my mind. If you watch Kevin Na, there's nothing special about what he does, but he gets the ball in the hole in an incredible way. That's what I mean by player, right? Like, Tiger Woods had all the skills, the best putting, the best short game, was long and best iron game, but he's still the best player. That's how you win by 12 and 15. And so I think that, you know, when Cameron's on, he's always been a streaky putter. And when he starts to make a lot of putts, he doesn't really miss. And then we know about this prodigious length that he has off the tee. So, I mean, imagine you stand on a 500-yard par four, and if you had a good tee shot, you're going to have 130 yards in. So I just think of like the power of that and matching. If Cameron drove the ball for Kevin Na, he'd probably win 15 tournaments in a row. But I think what happens with his granddad, and his granddad's been a seminal figure in his life. Not that that's normal. I mean, I did know my grandfather's very well, but Cameron has a real connection with him. And, you know, it was just kind of a, it was a week, I would say, of like perspective and gratitude. So the week started on Sunday night at his foundation event that his dad hosts and that Cameron's obviously a part of, but it's really his dad's thing. And they've got this little course that Cameron grew up on called Foothills. So Jeff bought it and has kind of replenished it. And then he's having misserved youth be able to use the facility. It's a really great thing. So Sunday night was the thing. I got to meet all the people that Cameron kind of grew up with, and that was excellent learning for me. And then the next day we went out and played, and I had some, you know, celebrity people from Sacramento, baseball players, football players, Cameron driving around, you know, playing with the groups. And then there was a little party after that. And then the next day, Cameron and I had to do something for Nike in the morning. And we played the nine holes of that little Foothills course that he grew up on. And it kind of just lent itself to be the perfect place to have the talk. And the talk is like, why did we start playing golf in the first place? Like, was it about FedEx points and money list? It might have been about trophies. But as a kid, I always saw the British Open trophy. I didn't even know what the check was for. Right. So I think that it gave him an opportunity to, one, realize as he was taking care of his grandfather, and very, very tenderly, I will say. So I would have been uncomfortable. That would have been tough for me, but Cameron would look like a NICU nurse the way he was tending to his grandfather. And, it just kind of was like this special energy going on, and it was about Mac and Cam and Jeff and the whole family. And then all the people have supported him. And so, yeah, I mean, I flew from the BMW championship where I was with Danny Willett and Rosie, to it. And we just had a really great time. And I just kind of felt like a big shift in him sitting there walking around that nine holes. All of a sudden his eyes looked more intense and his face looked younger. It's just kind of something I've seen in people when they kind of have a slight insight. So I think that he didn't even want to go to the tournament. So he just didn't even want to play the tournament because he wanted to make sure he could be on hand if he was needed. And his grandfather said, look, you need to go play the tournament. I would love if you played and blah, blah, blah. So Cameron showed up. He totally Rolls-Royced it. Showed up Thursday morning with maybe an hour before he teed off. Teed off, shot 5 under, didn't care about it, wanted to just go back home. Did kind of a similar thing the next day. Then he's in the lead. And then I tried to get him to think of the narrative as like, wow, okay, your grandfather is watching you now. He's going to watch you the whole weekend on TV, bud. Like, just stay on TV. Just let, you know, give him this gift that he knows that, you know, he can soon leave, and he knows you're good to go and you're ready to take on the challenges of your greatness and whatever your success brings to you. And it's going to be great and difficult at the same time. So just, you know, in between shots and stuff, you know, after you hit the shot or before the shot, why don't you just play with the virtues that he instilled in you from the time you were young? And I think that'd be great. So if you're in the lead, what would he tell you? He said he'd say, be humble. And if you were kind of losing lead, what would he say? He would say, be righteous in the face of calamity. I mean, it was just beautiful. Like, it couldn't have went better. So he won a tournament when he didn't want to be there. And last year we really wanted to be there, really wanted to win. And we couldn't put two good rounds together between us. So, you know, when I was younger, I used to clean clubs at this golf course, Millcroft. And there was this old, I think he was maybe Northern Irish. I'm not sure. But I believe he was, because he sounds a bit like G-Mac. And we were playing one day, and I was losing my mind, right? I was getting so pissed off and throwing clubs and doing all that stuff. And he told me that the key to golf is to make the shot mean everything and nothing at the same time. And I just think Cameron did that. I know it's very zenned out, that idea, but it meant everything to him in the moment. And as soon as he executed it, it was like, poof, it's golf. It's not life. And I think that that's it. You know, it's pretty easy when you're branded on social media and by companies and by the PGA Tour to start to identify with your score and how you play. But that's just danger zone. And all these young guys are going to have to go through it, because the difference now, Bob and Janice, like, versus when you guys first started doing this, was when a player was playing poorly, he could play in total anonymity. And now they almost get mentioned as much as when they're playing well. So it's all noise. It gets rid of, it's all clutter, and it doesn't do much to help us, you know?
Well, Sean, certainly wonderful insight into that Cameron Champ victory. And if you don't mind, one more question for you.
But I'll tell you what, though, Bob, it showed me, though, I mean, I've always loved the kid. I've been coaching him for eight or nine years now. And, you know, to an extent, they're 24 and they make a lot of mistakes and they can be unorganized. And they're just 24 years old. I mean, they're good at golf, but they're 24 years old. And I think from 24 to 30 was where I made all the mistakes that allowed me to be the man I am in my mid-40s. So you kind of have to sit back. You kind of have to sit back and let some of it happen. But he showed me a real, like a real depth, a real courage. And the thing about the word courage is it's not used properly normally in literature, if you ask me, because the word courage comes from the Greek word koura, which means wholehearted. So being courageous is actually meaning that you're living out of your heart. It's not even a synonym of bravery. It's totally different. So that's kind of what I saw. That was more of and I just honestly think, like, when guys struggle with their game, I don't know if it's mental. I just feel like sometimes their heart's not in the game. And that's why we have to kind of, as people, regardless of what we do, we kind of have to often just ask ourselves why we're doing what we're doing and let that question guide us back to more simplicity.
We're talking with Sean Foley. Sean, the ability on the golf course that this new crop is demonstrating is certainly exceptional. But what I'm noticing is off the golf course, that these are outstanding young men in their own right. I mean, you know, their demeanor belies their age. I mean, golf couldn't be in better hands than it is right now because of the quality of the individuals not only playing it, but as they conduct themselves as ambassadors of this great game off the golf course. And to me, that's the biggest revelation that's transpired over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, look, why wouldn't you be? Like, the thing is that, you know, I don't know if it's just me and how I perceive things, but it's like people get a pat on the back now for basic humanity. And to me, of all my young players, because I've got a bunch on the web and I've got two young ones on the PGA Tour, that's mandatory that you be that way. I mean, you play pro golf for a living. You're playing for hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, if that's troubling, then, you know, then you need to give your head a shake. So I think I just think that, you know, this, the one kid who's at Morikawa, he's like a classy, elegant kid who's really sharp. And he, to me, seems like he's in his 40s. Like, he really gets it. And then the kid who I really have enjoyed, getting to know is that Matt Wolf. He might be the one of the sweetest out of all of them. He's just such, he's an outstanding guy. Really like how seriously he takes, like, his career, but he doesn't take himself seriously at all. I think that's a pretty powerful combination, for human beings. I mean, gosh, there's just Shintaro Band. There's so many of these. There's just so many of them. I agree with you. I think that sometimes it's difficult, right? Like, what you're saying is no one would look at a law firm with a bunch of new lawyers and say, you know, he's such a good guy. Like, I think in golf, for whatever reason, we make it mandatory that they all fit the mold of what we think. You know, if you look at some of the number ones in the world over time, they were very reserved, very introspective, not very friendly. I don't think you have to be number one, but there's a lot of proof that it was that way. So it doesn't technically mean that they weren't good people, that they just came to work, did their job, and weren't concerned. So I think today they're more forced to be a certain way because it'll blow up on social media, and then, you know, the effect that that has. We'll see as time, you know, time will tell, right? Time will tell how authentic it is. But, you know, Victor Hovland and Matt Wolf and Cameron and all these young guys, Bo Hostler, I mean, I love Bo Hostler. God, he's just one of my favorite people I've ever met. Bo Hostler, I want him to play better because I want more people to hear his interviews, because I just love that kid. So there's all these just really classy young men who are sharp and they're professional, and they're in a very lucrative market right now.
and they all would love the virtues of a Sean Foley. Sean, thanks so much for taking time out. I really appreciate it, and look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.